Welcome, welcome, welcome online. I am so, so glad that you are tuning in this morning. I got to tell you, I am really, really disappointed that we were not all able to be here together and just sing together, "It is well with my soul." That we couldn't all just join together this morning singing, "Great are you, Lord." And I miss that. I miss this gathering. And my prayer is that we will be back together very, very soon. And I'm talking about just a few short weeks. My prayer is that we are back together early August. And that's what I'm praying for. You be praying about that with me as well. This morning, as crazy as it sounds, we're continuing in our study in the book of Philippians, just kind of wrapping that up this morning before we launch a different series next Sunday morning. But in this study of Philippians, of all things, the text that we're looking at talks about the importance of the body of Christ gathering together. So believe it or not, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, let me say, I get it. Right now, a lot of you, a lot of us, frankly, are thinking, man, online is a pretty good alternative. I get it. Some of you right now, like Brian said earlier, you're finishing up breakfast watching this sermon and you're going, this is the way God intended it to be, right? Some of you may be thinking, man, this is brunch for me. Others of you, no doubt, you're there gathered in front of the screen, whatever you're watching this online service on. You've got your Bible open and you're thinking, no, I'm not eating breakfast. I'm really zoned in right now. I know, but still, it's tempting to just say online is the way to go, right? You didn't have to get up. You didn't have to put makeup on. You didn't have to get dressed. You didn't have to drive down here. Nobody fought in the car on the way to church this morning. And you're thinking, you know what? This is not bad. And so this morning, I think it's worth asking, should we become an online church only? Now, before you race ahead of me, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, okay? Some of you are going, you know, it's not bad. I like it. I mean, this morning I've got my remote in my hand. This is pretty cool. If the sermon drags on too long, I don't like it too much. I've got the remote. I can fix that. I can get up and go to the bathroom anytime I want. So, Gary, maybe we should be an online church only. Let me just give you this spoiler alert. You ready? I did some research. And just especially what I found in the book of Philippians, I'm just going to tell you right up front, God is not a fan of online only. Or to put it another way, in a more positive way, God is very committed to his body, the bride of Christ, gathering together. I mean, think about it. God is the one who inspired these words. Listen to this. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to, do you see that? Meet together, as is the habit of some. So what's this sermon about this morning? Don't let this become a habit, okay? And that's going to be the bottom line. But as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you say, see the day drawing near. Here's what I would suggest to you. Assembling ourselves together is still God's design for us. Would you open your Bible to the book of Philippians? And I'm going to start reading with verse 19 and read down to verse 30. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 19. Follow along. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon. Notice send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him. You see that? Send him. I want you guys to gather together, and I want Timothy to gather together with you. I hope to send him, it says, just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I've also thought it necessary to send, there it is again, to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing, isn't that interesting, for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. You know, as I read these words, there's something that we say a lot around here that just jumps out off the pages of Scripture for me. And it's these words right here. We are better together. I really believe that's what Paul is getting at in these verses. He is saying, as we break the text down in Philippians, that when we're together, we rejoice more. When we're together, we demonstrate care, concern for each other more. When we are together, gathered together, we inspire each other more. And so let me encourage you to just follow along in your text. Notice how it says in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I may be, check that out, cheered. So I may be cheered by news of you. And then notice what he says on down in the text in verse 28. I'm the more eager to send him, that is Epaphroditus, right? Therefore, that you may take a look at that word, that you may rejoice at seeing him again. So Paul is saying, you know what, I could have just sent a letter by a messenger and just you guys could have just read it house to house. But instead, what he's saying is, I want you, the church in Philippi, to gather together, and I want Timothy to gather together with you, and I want Epaphroditus to gather together with you. And I want the church gathered together to be the occasion for the motivation for, the reason for Paul being cheered. Paul is the preacher. He said, so when this gathering occurs, the preacher is going to be cheered and the people are going to rejoice. In other words, when we gather together, it is so natural for our level of joy in Jesus, our level of joy in our faith, to actually go up. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake assembling yourselves, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near, we are encouraged. We rejoice more. Our level of joy goes up when we are gathering together. I'm telling you, Paul could have just sent a letter, which would be the equivalent of, say, a text or an email, right? Paul could have just recorded, you know, written down a sermon and then just had that sent to the people. It'd be kind of like watching the sermon online. But instead he said, I want y'all to gather, and I want you to gather with Timothy and Epaphroditus. And I believe the result is going to be, from this gathering, increasing levels of joy. Paul is telling us the importance of gathering together, and it is that joy is magnified. Joy is infectious. It's like a good kind of pandemic. When we gather with the body of Christ, joy increases as we sing together and worship together, as we listen to sermons together, as we pray together and pray for each other, as we embrace each other with proper social distancing, of course, and doing so in a safe manner. But the fact is, the church gathered, God designed the church gathered to be reason for rejoicing in greater and greater degrees. Paul is saying, texting is great, online is amazing. He's saying FaceTime is good, but nothing beats in-person contact for the body of Christ, because it is the occasion for being cheered in the Spirit and increasing our level of joy. Do you see that in the text? Have you ever gone to a wedding and heard the preacher say something like this? When two people share a sorrow, the sorrow is cut in half, but when two people share a joy, the joy is doubled. That's true, right? You've gone through seasons of life where you lost someone very, very dear to you. I've gone through those seasons as well. I've just recently gone through a season of loss, and I'm telling you, your response with letters and cards and prayers and phone calls, it is amazing when our sorrow is shared with other people, just knowing that they love us, knowing they care about us, knowing that they are concerned, knowing that they're pulling for us, it just cuts the burden. It just lifts the burden. It cuts it in two. The sorrow is cut in half. But on the other hand, whenever we share a joy with someone, it really is true. The body of Christ gathered together, levels of joy just naturally increase. Kim and I, a year or so ago, had the opportunity to go to Zermatt, Switzerland. Man, it is my new favorite place on the earth. It is this beautiful little hamlet, this little village. Cars are limited. You can just walk wherever you go. And there at the base, it's at the very base of the Matterhorn. While we were there, we got to go on a cogwheel train up to the top of Gornergrat, and that's another mountain peak just right there in the shadow of the Matterhorn. And I'm telling you, we walked down the mountain. I mean, it was just one of those idyllic times. And the few days that Kim and I spent there, it increased our joy that we were able to share that together. We're taking selfies and sending selfies to people back home. But it wouldn't have been the same had I been there without Kim sending her pictures, or had Kim been there without me sending those pictures. Our joy was multiplied by sharing that joy together. So Paul is saying, hey, I designed you to gather together. And one of the reasons I designed it this way, one of the results of the gathering, is that levels of joy increase. We are better together because we rejoice more when we are together, and we are better together because we care about each other more when we are gathered together. Did you notice in the text how it said, I have no one like him who will be genuinely, look at this word, concerned for your welfare. Concerned. Paul sent Timothy, Paul sent Epaphroditus, because he knew that when they were with the people there in the church, that he would express incredible, they would express incredible concern for the people. And it would encourage the people to then express concern for each other. In other words, when we gather together, our level of concern for each other goes up. Our joy goes up, and our level of concern for each other goes up. And by the way, when it says genuinely concerned for your welfare, the scholars that I read say that this concern is, yes, a general concern, like I'm concerned about you, you're concerned about me. But specifically, this concern is talking about one's spiritual progress. And what Paul is saying is, it's when we are gathered together, more so than when we are scattered apart, that we actually begin to care more about each other's spiritual progress. And notice in the text how Paul said Epaphroditus will express his concern for you. But don't look at this as just what Epaphroditus did for the people in Philippi. Look at it instead, for this is what Paul says. When we gather together, here's how we express concern for each other's spiritual progress. Glance in verse 25. Paul calls Epaphroditus my brother. And what he's saying is, when we gather together, we express concern for each other because we treat each other like family, like brothers and sisters, not like strangers. And he said of Epaphroditus, my fellow worker. In other words, he said, when Epaphroditus comes, he is going to share in your burdens. He is going to work on your behalf. And that's what we do. That's how we express concern for each other. We share burdens. He called Epaphroditus his fellow soldier. That means Epaphroditus, when he was with the people in Philippi, what he did is he encouraged boldness and single-minded devotion to Jesus. But that's how we encourage each other. When we gather together, we're encouraging boldness and single-minded devotion to Jesus. He said, Epaphroditus will be your messenger. What does that mean? It means that when we gather together, that we are messengers for Jesus Christ. It means that we inform each other and teach each other the ways of Jesus. And then notice as well in verse 25, are you looking at this? He calls Epaphroditus the minister to my need. And that is, hey, you know what? He will serve you. He will bless you. And that's how we express concern for each other's spiritual progress. He said, I'm sending him because he is going to lead you in being concerned for each other's welfare, concerned for each other's spiritual progress. Now, here's the reality. This kind of concern is so much easier to express when we are gathered together than it is when we're just gathered online. I ran across a study recently that's put out by Ohio State University, and they suggest, I don't know if this is factual or not, but Ohio State University suggests that there are 21 different facial expressions. And these facial expressions express one of seven universal emotions: anger, fear, disgust, happiness, sadness, surprise, content. Now, you may agree or disagree with Ohio State University, their study, but here's the thing I want you to catch. And the fact is, we pick up on facial expressions in person in ways that we don't pick up on facial expressions in a text or an email, right? That's why there's this thing called emojis, right? And even online, you're watching me, but it's hard for you to pick up on how I am doing personally, specifically, and it's hard for me to pick up on how you are doing online. Here's the reality. We have to do life together to know how someone is doing in life. If we're going to express concern for each other's welfare, each other's spiritual progress, it's hard to do that if we are not gathered together. So what am I saying? I'm saying I'm so grateful to God that we can gather online when we can't gather in person. But I'm also saying, according to Paul, there are limitations to online gatherings, and so I'm inviting us all to remain committed to gathering together as soon as we can possibly do so safely. See, we're better together. And we're better together because we rejoice more when we're together. Our levels of joy go up. We're better together because we care for each other more when we are gathered together. We're concerned about each other's welfare. And we are better together because when we are together, we actually inspire each other to greater and greater levels of faith. Listen to what Paul says. Receive him. He's talking about Epaphroditus. He said, I'm going to send Epaphroditus to you. You guys are going to gather up, and Epaphroditus is going to come gather with you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to receive him in the Lord with all joy, and I want you to honor not just Epaphroditus, but all the people who are like Epaphroditus. He said, I want you to honor Epaphroditus. Why? Why did he want them to honor? And what did he want them to honor Epaphroditus for? Look at this. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. He nearly died for the work of Christ. What in the world is that talking about? Some background might help. Do you know Epaphroditus actually means belonging to Aphrodite? Belonging to Aphrodite. When his parents named him when he was born, they said, here is our son. I know what we're going to name him. We're going to name him the one who belongs to Aphrodite. You know who Aphrodite is? The Greek goddess of love. In all likelihood, this is me. I didn't read this in a commentary. I'm just kind of fleshing this out in my own mind and heart. And I'm going, okay, it makes sense that Epaphroditus' mom and dad worship the goddess of Aphrodite. Not a big stretch, right? Why would you name your child one who belongs to the Greek goddess Aphrodite if you don't believe in the Greek goddess Aphrodite, right?
And so here, the parents name him Epaphroditus, belonging to Aphrodite. Somewhere along the way, though, Epaphroditus hears the gospel, responds to the gospel, repents of his sin, and confesses Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of his life. Something I challenge, I encourage, I beg every single person who's listening to me today to do if you've not done that. Epaphroditus confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior of his life. That confession cost him so that he nearly died for the work of Christ. He stood up and he declared, "I once believed in the Greek goddess Aphrodite, but I now believe in the God of creation, and his name is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And Paul said, when you gather together, I want you to look at Epaphroditus. I want you to notice his faith. I want you to notice his courage. And I want you to honor him. I want you to let his life be inspirational to you. I want you to be inspired to greater levels of faith just by watching Epaphroditus. Paul said in another place, right? Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The reality is we value what we value, we imitate. Paul said, I want you to value, I want you to honor this guy who nearly died for the work of Christ. I want that to be what you value, because I know what you value, you're going to imitate. Here's the reality. We learn more by watching than we do by hearing, right? When it comes to spiritual progress, we are all visual learners. Who was the most influential person in your spiritual formation? Who's the top two or three? Go ahead and think right now. Just who are they? Name their names. Who is the most, one, two, three, most influential people in your spiritual formation? Now, let me ask you this question about them. You got somebody in mind? Okay, are you thinking about something that they wrote to you in a letter? And you may be, because I'm telling you, words written down have a powerful influence. Are you thinking about a text that they sent you, an email they sent you? I'm telling you, words written have a powerful impact. You may be, but let me ask you this. Are you thinking simply about what they said to you? Or are you thinking, this person who's influenced your spiritual formation more than anyone else, are you thinking about what they did? Are you thinking about how you observed their life and how it was so impactful? Here's what I would suggest to you. Paul wrote these letters. His letters are so powerful, we're still being impacted, influenced by his letters today. Using words to express faith, truth, I'm telling you, it encourages and it causes spiritual formation to occur. But I would also suggest this. As much of an influence as Paul and Peter and John and the other writers of the New Testament have influenced us through the written word, had we been able to be there actually in person and see Paul operate, had we been there to hear him share his testimony of the blinding light on the road to Damascus and how he came to faith in Jesus, had we been there to actually see how Paul discipled his young protege, Timothy, had we been there to see how Paul just stood in faith when he was beaten, when he was stoned, when he was jailed, had we been there at night to hear Paul singing in that prison praises in spite of the fact that he was in prison? Had we been there when Paul was chained to that Roman prisoner and that the Roman guard in that Roman prison and saw how he boldly shared his faith so that the whole Praetorian guard heard the gospel and many in Caesar's household became Christians? Had we been there to see Paul in person, his words, which have had so much impact, would have had even more impact upon our life because his words would have been matched up with his actions. What am I saying? I'm saying God uses our in-person gatherings to inspire in us greater and greater levels of faith. Paul, no doubt, instructs through his writings. But I'm telling you, Paul inspired countless people through his life. Why is it important for us to gather together? Because we are better together. When we are gathered together, our level of joy in Jesus rises. We express more concern for each other's spiritual progress, and we actually inspire each other to greater and greater levels of devotion to Jesus. So, I'm suggesting this deep down in our soul. We all know that we're better together. We all know that God designed us to be a gathered church, not just a scattered church. Anyone who's ever fallen in love believes that, hey, you know what? We're designed to be gathered together. Let me give you a case in point. Kim and I, when we started dating, it wasn't but just a few months before I moved away and did my student teaching and then went to seminary. And so really for the first 2 years that we dated, actually the 2 years before we got married, I mean, it was all pretty much long distance. She was in Commerce finishing up college. I was in Fort Worth attending seminary. And we would talk. I mean, there were no computers, so nothing was online, right? And there was no FaceTime. There was no Zoom. But we would talk on the phone, right? And I know it's crazy, but back in those days, I mean, I'm talking, you know, a couple of centuries ago, like in the early 80s. I'm telling you, you had to actually pay to talk long distance. So we had to really limit our conversations online, you know, when we first started dating those 2 years before we got married. And I'll tell you what, I don't really remember that much about what we said on the phone, but I do remember our in-person gatherings. I'm telling you, every time Kim could, she would come from Commerce to Fort Worth, or I would go from Fort Worth to Commerce, and we would be together. And I can remember us walking in Walmart on a date because I couldn't afford to take her anywhere else. And we had so much fun at Walmart in Commerce. I can remember taking Kim to meet my folks for the very first time. It's amazing. In marriage, in love, we know that in person is better, right? I mean, I can remember Kim taking me to meet her dad. I can remember the time I asked her dad if I could marry his daughter, and he said, fine by me. Do you know what you're getting yourself into? And I said I did, but I didn't. And but that's okay. That's all right. I can remember getting down on one knee and asking Kim to marry me. It's amazing. I don't remember so much of what was said online, but I remember our in-person gatherings. What's my point? Everyone who's ever been in love knows how crucial it is that we gather together. I don't want an online marriage. I want an in-person marriage. And as a matter of fact, some of you, without even knowing it, you've had so much impact upon other believers when you gathered together with them. Maybe it was the way that you just prayed over them. You had an impact on their faith that you cannot even fathom. Maybe it was the way you turned the other cheek instead of just losing it and exploding. And they saw that, and they saw your Christ-like grace demonstrated in a time of stress. And that impacted someone's faith. Maybe it was the time you just boldly shared your faith. Maybe it was the way you discipled them. The fact is, you in gatherings have had impact that you don't even know. And that's the way God designed it to be. He has designed us to gather together. So what am I asking you to do in response to this message as we just try to wrap it up? Number one, and this is going to seem like just, boy, a left turn, just out of left field, but follow me because I think this is really important. The first thing I'm asking you to do is to repent of your sin and confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. You can miss gathering with the body of Christ from time to time, but you do not want to miss gathering with Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross, repenting repenting of your sin and confessing Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. The first most important gathering you can do is with Jesus at the foot of the cross, confessing him as the Lord and Savior of your life. In just a moment, there's going to be a number on your screen. If you want to talk to somebody and just ask them, could you share with me how I could give my life to Jesus today? There will be somebody who would love to talk to you about that. Second thing I'm asking you to do is this. I'm asking you right now to just put it in stone. As soon as I can do so safely, I am going to rejoin the gathering of the body of Christ. Now, some of you are in a high-risk group, and it may be some time before you can regather safely. Man, I am supportive of you. I believe that. You take care of yourself, and you be safe. But I'm saying, those of us who can, as soon as we can, do so safely. I'm asking you to make the commitment, God, I will value the gathering together of your body, the body of Christ. Final thing I'm asking you to do is this. If gathering together has so many benefits, and we've not been able to gather together, and we've just been gathering online, that means that there's some people in the body of Christ who are struggling. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to reach out to someone this week. I don't know who it'll be, but I'm going to ask you to call someone, email someone, text someone, just check on someone else in the body of Christ. And I'm going to ask you to just pray for them, encourage them, listen to them. Let me tell you what will happen. I believe their level of joy in Jesus will increase. I believe your expressing concern for them will encourage their spiritual formation. And I believe you reaching out to them this week will inspire them to a greater level of faith, perhaps even encourage them to reach out to someone else. And the fact is, when we can't gather together, it's more important than ever that we reach out to each other and stay connected to each other. That's what I'm asking you to do this week. Would you reach out to one other person and encourage them, pray for them, bless them this week? I want to close this in a word of prayer. Thank you for gathering online. I'm grateful to God for this privilege of doing that when we cannot gather here together. Thank you for being committed to this online gathering. Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day when we can gather together again as your body, the body of Christ. Lord, I really believe, just as Paul taught, that when we gather together, our level of joy in you goes up. I really believe, Lord, that we express concern for each other's spiritual progress more effectively. And Lord, I really do believe that we inspire each other more when we are gathered together, not just scattered apart. So Lord, I'm asking you to give us the privilege to gather together again. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, for those who are struggling with this coronavirus, struggling with illness, and we have some that I know of in our church family who have gotten this virus. Lord, would you bless them? Would you protect them? Lord, would you heal them? And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, would you bless, protect your body as it is scattered during these days. Would you encourage, would you strengthen our faith? And Lord Jesus, would you strengthen our resolve to gather together again as soon as we can do so safely? I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.